Okay. All right, here we are. Back. Not enough time. Not enough time. Okay, we have a lot going on here. We're going to bring you a lot of different kinds of news and information that we always try to do. This will be another program that you'll want to keep and pass around. Dr. William Mackis is back at it. He's come up with a very interesting article. We'll be putting that up in headlines as well. Are you there, young lady?
I am. Happy Monday.
Is it? I hear it's raining
here.
There.
Oh, it was raining and cold. Yeah.
Hmm. Not fun.
Summer's last hurrah. Right? It's gone.
All right. So let's start with Dr. I think, hold on, let's see. Is this the correct? I'm trying to find the correct one on this council I had. I still can't find it. It was there, and it's not there. Let me check this. May I, is this it? No, that's not it either. Okay, well, we'll get there. Now, let's talk about William Mackis. If you have been with us for any length of time, you'll know we've been featuring a lot of Dr. Mackis' videos, clips thereof, some of his writings and so forth. He has put out another really terrific one. It came out today, a Novavax COVID-19 vaccine and myocarditis. Novavax COVID-19 vaccine and myocarditis. For those of you who don't know, Novavax was the least popular of these so-called COVID-19 vaccines, and Novavax didn't play any games. They weren't mRNA-oriented. They didn't use mRNA. They didn't use adenoviruses. They just put together and this is hard for you to believe. I know some of you. It's still hard for me to believe. They actually put together an alleged vaccine that contained nothing but the deadly, diabolically evil spike protein. That was it. And we brought the story here forward early on. Very few others talked about it. It's just crazy what they did. I don't know how many people took it. It was a very small portion, probably 1 or 2%. 97% was Pfizer, Moderna. 5-6% was J&J. That's one set of statistics I have. But Novavax is the vaccine that is actually mind-boggling. They all are. But Novavax had its own color of paint in terms of a perverse composition. Really strange. Tell us more about Novavax.
Well, the upside of Novavax was that it would just be an injection of the spike protein, full-length pre-fusion confirmation spike. So your body would not be programmed to keep producing it over and over and over again. So it was kind of sold on that benefit or that feature, and some people went for it, but it still had its fair share of adverse events that were remarkably similar to those they had seen with the mRNA. And in fact, as Dr. Mackis points out in this latest Substack, Novavax causes myocarditis, pericarditis at a comparable rate to the Pfizer COVID-19 mRNA vaccine.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think, the original Novavax has since been pulled and been replaced now with this latest, it's not a booster, but it's a new version of Spike called XBB 1.5. It has no safety studies, but the original Novavax had a black box warning on it for myocarditis. So that was a known and acknowledged side effect, and I don't know why it still wouldn't be. But I can recall reading cases of tinnitus, definitely the heart pain, the myocarditis, numbness, tingling, those types of neuropathies being associated with this vaccine. And even some people reported feeling shedding from people who had received the Novavax, which is strange because their bodies aren't supposed to be manufacturing it, so what exactly is being shed? Now, it is an injection that contains nanoparticles. These spikes are adhered to a adjuvant called Matrix M.
Right.
So it is conceivable that this stuff is coming out of their pores or being circulated in exosomes that are entering the environment and affecting other people.
That's really amazing, the whole thing. It's just mind-boggling. All right. Anything else you want to add about Macus? I've got Peter McCullough now, so we're ready to go there. But Macus is probably, I think, right now, along with Dr. Mike Yeadon, former chief science officer of Pfizer Pharmaceuticals for, over 20 years, and John O'Looney, the UK undertaker, who we haven't seen much from lately. John O'Looney, Mike Yeadon, and I think Dr. William Macus get my votes as being right now at the top of the stack. Most honest, most honorable, most correct speakers about this whole nightmare, this horror that's going on. How do you feel about that?
There's invariably others.
Yes, of course.
Not as well publicized, but they're out there. I mean, I just can't even imagine at this late stage, 3 years into this now, that there are still people who are refusing to open their eyes to how bad this is. I mean, we had a guy come into the neurology group today who went out and got the Novavax, and now he's injured.
He got the Novavax.
I don't know what kind of sympathy he's going to get in this particular group, because these people, some of them, have been suffering for over 2 years with their injuries, and to see somebody coming in as a new person into the group, with everything that's happened.
What's the time frame on this person who took the Novavax? When did he take it?
I'll read it here. It's very short. He says, this was posted today. Is there anything one can do during a vaccine injury?
Ouch.
I got Novavax last Monday and did HBOT, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and then had a foot injury. I'm at urgent care being tested for COVID right now and hopefully getting other vitals and imaging. Ugh. And I was doing so much better a year in with my long COVID. I'll get better again. I'll go through this. I will get through this, and I will see the light of day again. I don't know. At what point is enough enough?
I honestly, dealing with the most common denominator amongst the sheeple class, and I'm not speaking down at anybody, they're just uninformed and uneducated about all this. They've been duped, deceived, and misdirected. They have been lied to, and they have been murdered by the hundreds of millions around the world. They don't know how to really question this. They think in simple answers to extremely complex damage to their bodies. They don't know how to think otherwise. I'm not blaming them, but that's the game. So they don't have much chance. That's a problem.
We had another person come into the myocarditis group last week that began by reading the comments and was utterly horrified to read what people had been dealing with. And then she asked if it was genuinely a support group, because she'd seen, read so many negative reports.
Right.
So I think, when she was seeking support, she wanted reassurance that everything's going to be okay. And she's getting a big dose of reality, seeing that, maybe if you're lucky and, you're very tenacious with pursuing testing and treatments, you might get better, but it's not
easy. We're talking primarily symptomatic improvements. It's just that what's going on in the body is really horrific on levels that most people will never even hear about.
No.
We've gotten a very good look inside. We don't bring a lot of that information out here. There's no real reason to. It wouldn't stick. It's very complex. But what we do present is kind of a happy medium, trying to give all of you enough data to make reasonable choices. in these very difficult times of chaos and confusion and heartache, grief. My God, there's so many people listening right now who are essentially shut-ins. They can't get out anymore. They don't want to go out anymore. They feel like crap all the time. They're living in hell. And we hear you. We know you're out there. And if there was anything we could do to give you hope, more than we're doing, we'd do it. But we don't talk about the minutia of this diabolically evil, satanic weapon. It's continuing. They're making it. God only knows what's in the current version that was just released, a month ago now? A little over?
Right.
Something like that. We have no idea. But we know it's not going to be any better for people. That's not the game. The game is to kill people. Okay? That's it. It's hard to believe. And that's how they get away with it. Most people will not go there, can't go there. What do you mean my government would never let the food? Come on, the Food and Drug Administration, the CDC, would never allow us to be exposed to something like that. It's just beyond their comprehensional abilities. But it's true.
Well, I can tell you this latest, the DNA, so-called contaminant bombshell, has hit some of these people pretty hard. And then this other study that they did with the rats and the myocarditis, all of the rats had detectable levels of myocarditis after having been injected with this material. That's hitting these people with myocarditis.
Oh, say that again,
real bad.
Please. That's important. Say that again.
All right, so all of the rats showed evidence of damage. Their hearts were damaged from the lipid nanoparticle carriers and or the mRNA and or the autoimmune attack that ensues once the heart cells are being transfected and producing spike protein. Their hearts are being destroyed.
Understand that rats and mammals...
100%, not just some, but 100%. Right. They all had measurable levels of some damage.
And what dose were they given? Which shot? Do you remember?
This was... It was both the Pfizer and the Moderna.
Okay. Well, they're both equals, basically, even though they're slightly different.
Well, it's
platform.
That lipid nanoparticle platform that
sure.
They can't control where it goes in the body and which cells uptake it and begin to express the protein. And then whatever organs or tissues do take it up, they are the subject of an immune attack.
Well, don't forget that Bob Malone said that every person who took an mRNA COVID vax has myocarditis to some degree or another, whether it's subclinical in terms of symptoms or not. They're damaged. And this rat study you just mentioned, I didn't know about that till just now, but that does underscore our point that all mammals at least may be open to being attacked and destroyed by this mechanism if they're given it one way or the other. And we've seen how many dogs and cats have been killed now by their vaxxed owners unwillingly, unwittingly, unknowingly. We get that. But you're losing dogs and cats. Now the rats are showing 100% myocarditis.
Well,
Pfizer and Moderna.
These rats were injected. These dogs and cats are not being injected. They're
shedding
getting
victims.
Sick from their... No, yeah, they're
that's
shedding
right.
victims.
No, I'm just...
The rats were injected...
But let me jump to the conclusion here. The conclusion is that injection or shedding is now beginning to regularly manifest and show up in the unvaxxed as if they had been vaxxed.
Well, that's been happening for a while.
Yes, and it's getting worse. And now we're seeing turbo cancers in the unvaxxed simply because they have been shed upon and exposed, and other things, heart attacks, strokes.
That Will Spencer, who has appeared on some platforms in the alt media recently, his wife apparently was recovered from breast cancer, and then they had gone to several events that forced them to be around vax people, and the cancer ended up coming back, and she has since died. She died at the beginning of October, I think. October or September.
Right. Yeah.
And they tried. They gave it their best shot to try to reverse it, and it was aggressive and ultimately fatal. And she was unvaxxed.
All right, let's go take a listen to October 20th, it's 10 days ago, the Novel Coronavirus Southwestern Intergovernmental Committee, which met in Arizona, October 20th. We're going to start out, there's a panel in front of you, six people. Dr. McCullough is slightly off-center to the right, just giving you a mental image. And they're all sitting and they're listening to a video clip being played of Dr. McCullough speaking before the European Parliament, I believe it was. And then he will begin speaking live after the clip ends. But I want you to pay close attention to this. Now, we have projected for a long time that the number of Americans vaxxed was around 80%. Yeah, we've kind of increased it to 83%. We got that report from a very good source. Nobody knows, first and foremost, because the government lies all the time. Anything the government tells you cannot be taken to any kind of mental bank as being real and honest and correct. You just don't know. So it's 80%. We have another source that says it's 90% of Americans did take at least one shot, which leaves 10 to 20%. Ultimately, who are unvaxxed. We're seeing now strong evidence to suggest, that, and this shedding was built into the whole program. Don't forget that for a second. They wanted to collect those who were going to be vax refusers, and they did with shedding. They got these people. If you're around the vaxxed all the time and you're unvaxxed, you are being shed upon, and you may well end up with sludge blood and all the other panoply of horrors that come with these shots. You're just going to get nailed. That's what it looks like right now. All right. Here is Dr. Peter McCullough on video, in the video, speaking, I believe it was the European Parliament.
Right. Dr. McCullough.
The WHO has played an adverse role from the very beginning, deceiving the world on the origins of SARS-CoV-2. Doctors like us in clinical practice got behind on this because our governments and agencies like the WHO weren't honest with us. And instead of helping us, or at least getting out of the way in terms of treating patients and saving lives, they got in the way and they impeded our ability to treat patients. They effectively created an entire environment of therapeutic nihilism. There are only two things that prevented hospitalization and death. One was early treatment, early on, and then the second was to acquire natural immunity with the first episode of the infection. Nothing else worked. There are only two bad outcomes, hospitalization and death. To this day, the WHO does not support, embrace, or promulgate early treatment protocols for patients with acute COVID-19. That should tell you something. That should be a wake-up call. We're going on 3 years of this. 3 years of this. And still nothing to reduce human suffering from the WHO. Nothing. In fact, efforts that enhance human suffering. Because the first wave was the illness. And I've testified in the U.S. Senate multiple times, the majority of hospitalizations and deaths were completely avoidable in the highest risk patients with early intervention, starting with virucidal nasal sprays and gargles, and then intravenous and oral drugs administered at home to get people through the illness. Now enter the vaccines. Since 2021.
We should pause there. This is another important point. A lot of people are still pushing the virus aside and saying, it's not much more than a cold, you'll get over it. Well, we found out now through hard science that you may get past the symptom aspects of the virus, but the virus is still observably doing dirty work in your body up to 2 years later. This is a fact. That was out recently.
True.
So the virus is a problem. You don't want this virus, okay? You do not want this virus. Anything else?
Yeah, well, and I'll remind people that there were changes, noticeable changes on a brain MRI, even after mild cases. does affect the brain in adverse ways.
Yes. Yes. All right. Very good. All right. Let's go back. Now, Dr. McCullough, we'll step past the virus itself and start to talk about the injections.
Well, in the highest risk patients, with early intervention, starting with virucidal nasal sprays and gargles, and then intravenous and oral drugs administered at home to get people through the illness. Now enter the vaccines. Since 2021, the vaccines have ravaged the population in the world. Worldwide, two-thirds of people took a vaccine. United States COVID Community State Study shows 75% of Americans took a vaccine. Thankfully, 25% didn't.
All right, that's McCullough's stat. We are not necessarily on board with that fully. 75% took the shots here in the U.S., 25% didn't. We think it's more like 80-20, and there are reports now of 90-10. All right? So, you know, pick your poison, so to speak.
I was the only public health and public figure in the United States in writing to question the vaccines before they came out, and I did it as loudly as I could. The COVID-19 vaccines in the United States, 94% of Americans took a messenger RNA vaccine. It is the genetic code for the potentially lethal spike protein part of the virus.
So that's his figure on all of those 75% that he feels took the shot. 94% took the mRNA version, Pfizer, Moderna. The 6% would have taken J&J or Novavax, most likely. That's your 6%. So out of that 75%, 94% took the Pfizer Moderna.
The worst idea ever to install the genetic code by injection and allow unbridled production of a potentially lethal protein in the human body for an uncontrolled duration of time. Everything we've learned about the vaccine since they've come out is horrifying.
Horrifying. Perfect word. Horrifying. Agreed. Now here he is live.
Dr. McCullough.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm a practicing internist and cardiologist in Dallas, Texas. And that was my prepared remarks for the European Parliament on September 13th, 2023. A giant issue for all countries is whether they will fully subscribe to the World Health Organization Pandemic Treaty Alliance and the international regulations that are being proposed, which will give the World Health Organization complete dominion, binding by international law, over all plants, animals, and humans on the globe.
Did you all hear that? I hope so. I'm going to back that up just a little. I want you to hear this again. Talk about world hegemony. The World Health Organization is obviously putting everything it can into that goal.
Is whether they will fully subscribe to the World Health Organization Pandemic Treaty Alliance and the international regulations that are being proposed, which will give the World Health Organization complete dominion, binding by international law, over all plants, animals, and humans on the globe.
What do you think, Chief? That's the end of the line.
Sure is.
If they get it, and I don't know when that vote is coming up, but America votes to subscribe to it, it's been
Catherine
put off.
Catherine Watt there wrote something about that this thing has already been consented to.
Well, there are two ways to look at this. One, it's been put off and postponed. Two, that Catherine Watt, who's no slouch, says it's already done. And that could be. What else do you know about that? That could be.
Not much. We were trying to get some verification from that James Roguski on this, because that came as a surprise to many people.
He did not put that on the table. So I don't know what that means. I have mixed feelings about this whole subject. It's a little bit cloudy at this point.
Mm.
All right.
The Biden administration is fully in support of this. I've written my local congressman in Texas. He's fully in support of this, as so many people in Washington. So keep that in mind when you're inquiring with, discussing, and listening to those seeking office about where they stand on the World Health Organization. Very important.
How can it be that any red-blooded American would for a moment entertain such lunacy as giving up our sovereignty and control to the World Health Organization? An evil apparatus, if there ever was one. And to give it control over every animal, plant, and human, etc., on the planet? This is really beyond belief.
I know.
The only
people it's going to appeal to are those that are not informed, and they're hearing some sugar-coated presentation
right.
of it.
Yeah, the sheep, they just, it's not their fault. They're completely controlled, completely fashioned, and engineered to be sheep. That's where they are. All right.
Mm-hmm.
To those seeking office about where they stand on the World Health Organization. Very important. As a cardiologist, I'm going to give an update as I would to other doctors and nurses in what we call bench to bedside. Bench to bedside. Some of you have heard that. That's a colloquialism that we use in medicine. Here's the updates, and this is all new from the time I presented to this committee several months ago. The first papers by Schreckenberg and colleagues published in the Journal of Pharmacology. Schreckenberg took heart muscle cells from rats in a test tube and applied both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine directly to the cardiomyocytes. This is the type of safety research that the companies should have done during the development of the vaccines. They found within 48 hours, the heart muscle cells got very sick. They started to contract in abnormal ways, conduct electricity and depolarization in very abnormal ways within 48 hours. It was evidence of direct cardiac toxicity. If this would have been a drug in development, likely the drug company would have killed it because it demonstrated early and direct harm to the heart muscle cells. Now, Crossan and colleagues from Harvard has found the messenger RNA in the human heart in people who have died after the vaccine. It's physically in the heart. Castriuda and colleagues published in the Journal of Pathology, Microbiology and Immunology has found circulating messenger RNA in the blood for 28 days, and that's as long as they've looked.
That's as long as they've looked. Maybe if they'd look up to 2 years, they'd still find the same thing. It's entirely possible, but 28 days is way too long. Remember what they told us? It'll all be gone in a couple of days. You won't be able to find it.
We heard that from Drew Wiseman himself.
You got it. We played that here on the program, too. He said, don't worry, it'll be gone. Unbelievable.
So the messenger RNA itself is now being measured in research, and these are not findings that are reassuring at all. Brogna and colleagues from Germany, published in the journal Proteomics, found circulating spike protein produced by the messenger RNA in the blood in half of the people who took the vaccine out to 6 months, and that's as long as they've looked. So if someone is following the government schedule for the vaccines right now, they have circulating spike protein in the bloodstream from the vaccine for 6 months. They take another shot, they get more circulating spike protein from the vaccines, and it keeps going and going. The spike protein itself is directly dangerous to cells, tissues, and organs in the human body. And these are very exact measurements telling us that this vaccine, the messenger RNA, and the spike protein that is produced are long-lasting and are not being broken down by normal human enzymes. The messenger RNA is synthetic. It's been changed. The change is called pseudouridination. It replaces a normal nucleic acid, uracil, with something called pseudouridine. There are indestructible 5' and 3' nucleoside analog caps. The Nobel Prize was just awarded to Weissman and to Carrico for this modification of the RNA. Now, in theory, the messenger RNA would be great if it was producing a normal human protein, like missing insulin in a type 1 diabetic, as an example. But when we're talking about a vaccine and producing an abnormal and dangerous protein, it's a very bad idea. Now, the vaccine companies that own intellectual property on messenger RNA, there's 9,000 patents on messenger RNA. And the leading patent assignees are CureVac, Sanofi, BioNTech, Moderna, and the U.S. government are the leading patent assignees. No single person invented messenger RNA. Don't be fooled by someone who comes out and said they invented it. 9,000 patents. There are an incredible set of investments made worldwide by companies on messenger RNA. The ones that are made for the vaccines appear to be an intellectual gamble that we can trick the body into producing a foreign protein and not trigger autoimmunity and not trigger problems. Next up will be the flu vaccine. If the flu vaccine, and one of the proteins this flu vaccine makes is the spike protein, and it's called the hemagglutinase on the flu vaccine, we could take a relatively benign vaccine and make it a very harmful vaccine if we had uncontrolled production of influenza hemagglutinase.
The flu vax has spike in it.
Well, it has its own
version
of the
spike. mRNA. Pardon me?
The influenza virus has a spike on it. It's different from the coronavirus,
mm-hmm.
SARS-CoV-2 spike. But you know, it's an attachment, a fusion protein.
Right. Are we seeing the new mRNA version of the flu vax yet? That
no.
Was supposedly
coming. No, it's still the traditional, but they are giving them at the same time as the COVID ones.
In the opposite arm, supposedly.
I think that's hit or miss. Last year they were saying it's okay to give it in the same arm.
Yes, and some people did, and they bitched about the pain it caused. They have no idea what they just got, no matter which arm it goes in.
That's true.
All right, here we go.
Keep that in mind. Now, as a cardiologist, a paper published in Radiology caught my eye. Nakahara and colleagues studied over 700 people who took the vaccine and 300 people who did not take the vaccine. They had cardiac PET scans, positron emission tomography, which studies the metabolism of the heart. Normally, the heart relies on free fatty acids as its fuel from the bloodstream. A diseased pattern is when the heart starts to prefer glucose and takes up 18-fluorodeoxyglucose. So when I order a PET scan in clinical practice, I'm looking for a diseased area of the heart, typically it's because it's not getting enough blood flow, with a cardiac PET scan. What Nakahara and colleagues found is virtually everyone who took the vaccine, the heart shifted towards taking up fluorodeoxyglucose. The PET scans became abnormal. 65% of people who took the vaccine had a sore arm. Those who had a sore arm had the greatest abnormalities in PET scan. Now, Schwab and colleagues in Germany have done an autopsy study, and they found when there's inflammation in the arm at the time of death, there's inflammation in the heart. So a clinical...
Oh, yeah, that is interesting. I've never heard that before. I've not heard that. There's a correlation between pain in the arm at the injection site and pain in the heart.
Hmm.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
into who may become sick with the vaccines and who doesn't is the initial reaction in the arm. This is a very important point. Many have shown this. Now to humans. Hulshear and colleagues at the University of Michigan, who sought me out in an approved project by the University of Michigan School of Public Health, of which I am a graduate, we performed a systematic review of all the autopsy cases published in the peer-reviewed medical literature. We reviewed over 600 papers, extracted all the data from each autopsy, made evidence tables from that, and then submitted those results to three independent reviewers for them to adjudicate whether or not the death was caused by the vaccine based on our contemporary knowledge of what the vaccine does to the human body, not based on the author's original conclusions, because we were learning over time, and it's very hard to see case by case what was going on. In 325 cases, the panel adjudicated 73.9% of the cases as being due to the vaccine or significantly contributed to the vaccine.
That figure, 75% of the deaths were caused by the shots. Round it off.
And
now, in the case,
is
the 28 cases where the doctors thought it was myocarditis or the cardiac arrest was due to the vaccine, 100% of the time, myocarditis or cardiac damage was found due to the vaccine. This paper was favorably reviewed by the Lancet editorial staff. It was triaged to a lower journal, and Lancet Family Journal, we declined and took it to a higher level journal for continued review. But Lancet accepted it on its preprint server, and after two reviews to make sure that the paper met all the criterion for a preprint publication, it received surges of downloads over one night. And then Elsevier, the parent publishing company in Lancet, censored it off their platform. And they claimed at that time that the methodology did not support the conclusions. We used a standard search technology called Prisma technology, and we had standard adjudication review that met every bit of grade for academic publication.
Okay, I think you get the picture. This is rigged from the top down to keep people from understanding what's been done to them. And I can take a broad brush and say, okay, we've got strokes, we've got myocarditis, we've got sudden death, we've got heart stoppage, we've got dying in your sleep overnight. I guess those people are the lucky ones. This is moving in another direction, though, now. And it's beginning to look like if clots don't get you and heart attacks and myocarditis don't get you, I'm simplifying this, that maybe the cleanup is turbo cancer.
Oh, and let's not forget the prion disease.
And that's what I was going to add after that. And if the turbo cancer doesn't remove you, the time, slow time it takes to produce all these prion proteins into a misfolded condition and have them slowly migrate to the brain, that'll get you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right, well, we will post this for sure up under guests here. We'll get that up later, and then we'll put it on the archive on the right side. If you're not familiar with this, go to rents.com and look on the right side. Look for Jeff and Erica. You'll find that's an enormously valuable archive of information and data from the best sources that we can discern from the morass of noise and lies and disinformation and carpet-bagging phonies out there trying to tell you all you have to do is drink bleach or take this or that and you'll be fine. It's a load of crap. This thing has so many ways of being anti-life. It's not funny. And I would repeat very kindly, there are many things that we do not talk about here because they're rather complex and they're just damning in terms of this vaccine's lethality. Horrible. All right.
Yeah, it is. And there's no two patients that are exactly the same.
No, everyone's different. Good point. Critical point. That's why one size fits all will never work. just won't.
Yeah, and there is really no magic bullet. Because this thing kicks off so many different diseases, pathologies that, once it's in motion.
Right.
You've got to work with the changes that have occurred. Because it is at a fundamental genetic level. You've lost control of your ability to regulate protein production. You don't know which organs and tissues have been transfected.
And all it takes is one shot, and you are off to the races. And not good.
That's true. There are people that only took one shot, and that was enough.
I want to thank one of our listeners, Mr. Weaver, for sending this video clip in. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. COVID Chronicles, another page, very, very glaring page. I've never heard McCullough better than I've just heard him now. Never heard him more succinct, to the point. Gloves are off. He's not playing games. But think about this World Health Organization effort, this treaty that they want every nation to sign. The globalists do. Schwab does. The elite. It gives them control over every animal, plant, and human on the planet. Think about it. That's where we are.
Well, that's the end of your sovereign rights. I mean, that's right. It. And it's not just having dominion. I mean, that's a license to kill. As they've already, had
made
these dress rehearsals in 160-something countries, right?
Yeah. Okay, let's jump over to our human files here and take a look at some of these particularly awful stories. What do you want to start with here? There was one that we read this morning. I can't remember which one it was. Well, we got pets dying from shedding. We got relapsing. We got the whole issue of headaches. That's another one we could get into. A lot of people report headaches all the time. Dental issues from shedding, brain issues worsening. What do you want to do?
You pick.
I just bet myself $10 you were going to say that. I'm paying myself off right after. All right.
How about weight loss, weight gain?
Sure. Go to it.
All right. This is in the one of the neuropathy groups, vax injured. I'm approaching 3 years. I've already gone through the phase of unintentional weight loss. I've lost most of my muscle mass due to atrophy, as it is. Now I'm gaining so much weight, and I have been for about a year and a half now. I cannot gain any more weight, especially given I have no muscle anymore. Who has successfully intentionally lost weight? I need to be careful because I cannot lose more muscle in the process. And has anyone successfully built up strength since muscle loss too? In my healthy past life, I would count macros and strength train. I'm open to hearing your experiences, though. My body and my mental health cannot continue to carry this extra weight around. You want to pick it up?
Oh, sure. Okay. Response? Ugh. Same. I weigh as much as I did before I got sick, but I lost a lot of muscle and gained fat. So I'm bigger and weaker and flabbier. It's hard to do everything. I have not been successful at losing any fat, but fasting has helped me not gain any more. Calorie restriction is useless, but fasting is really tough because now I have POTS and tend to get hyponatremia, and anyway, it all sucks. I have been able to do some seated upper body strength training, but I'm not building muscle. I think I'm not losing it as fast, though. And someone adds to that. I, too, got a lot of weight, lost it in a few weeks when this happened in February 2021, and am now gaining weight at a rapid pace. Weight, not muscle. I plan to try to find a thyroid specialist who really looks into the numbers. Otherwise, I have no idea. I eat a low histamine diet, intermittent fats daily, eat no grains, dairy, processed food. It's mind-boggling. And the last one, I'm going through the exact same thing. I lost so much weight at the beginning, as well as muscle atrophy. Now I've exceeded my pre-vax weight and have a totally different body makeup of fat and no muscle. I started doing Pure Barre last week and hope to gain back some muscle. I also now have POTS, so it's difficult to work out. I have to watch my heart rate, but it hasn't been too bad. Best wishes in your journey. So, yeah.
And that's just a sampling. There were 41 comments to that one post, so it's an issue. And I know many people have noticed that the vaxxed have gained an inordinate amount of weight in some cases. And no, they're not eating more. It's just something has happened to their metabolisms where they can't match up what they're eating or the calories that are coming in versus what's being expended.
So something is really messed up with the whole metabolic process in the body. I call muscle wasting or muscle decline. It's like protein wasting, and then it's replaced with fat cells.
Well, you know, it could be that, you know, if it's a neuropathy type of thing, the muscles aren't receiving the stimulus that they need to maintain themselves, or they're not synthesizing proteins as they should be, because, well, they're making lots of spike protein and they're not making their native proteins, or not in the way that they should be. And then amyloidosis changes the way the body synthesizes proteins. I don't know that these people have that, but that's a consideration. I mean, there's lots of things. I mean, their pancreas a lot of times is involved. A lot of these people do have pancreatic issues.
Pancreas is a key player in a lot of injured people.
Yep. And then their ability to regulate blood sugar. No one's mentioned here whether they're monitoring their blood sugar, but, you know, if you're having these fluctuations in blood glucose and insulin, that can cause weight gain. But I have to, to be dealing with this type of issue for 3 years almost, that's really incredible.
It is incredible. That's a perfect word for it. All right, here's a quickie, nosebleeds. Anyone got any ideas for a nosebleed? Teenager, third time in 24 hours. Oh no, jabbed, asks someone, or spending time with lab rats, people who have already been injected. If it is the toxin from the jabbed that is causing it, maybe you could try zinc and quercetin or green tea and green tea extract. All right, so we'd be interested in hearing if any of you are noticing nosebleeds or seeing more reports of nosebleeds. This was a very big marker in the beginning of this horror 2.5-3 years ago. A lot of this gushing nosebleeds shortly after injection. So that's another one. We have a pet one here, too. Pets dying. You want to do that?
Yeah. Thank goodness your cat has you to protect her. In the early days of this whole thing, I took my two beautiful Maltese to a vaccinated groomer, and I never understood why suddenly one of my dogs could no longer walk and was paralyzed. Practically, and the other dog had sudden onset diabetes and went blind immediately. They passed 4 months apart from each other 1 year ago. Still so heartbroken. And had I known that vaccinated groomer could do this kind of damage to my babies, I never would have taken them.
I hope all of you heard that loud and clear. Really, it applies to people equally. But to our pets, they are at our mercy. And if you're vaxxed, and you have pets, I don't even know what to begin to suggest. It's just awful.
Yeah, it's a tough choice. You can do a lot for your pets at home, but if they really do need medical attention, that's a tough call, because you don't want to, compromise their health.
And what
by
about
not
people
getting them care?
Correct. And what about people who, let's say, go to a cat breeder or a dog breeder, who's vaxxed, who's fully vaxxed, and you buy a puppy or a kitten, and you wait 6 weeks for it to get to be old enough to let go from the breeders and come home. What is that animal going to bring into your home if you're not vaxxed? What is that possibility? There's another aspect to this.
Yeah, we don't know.
No, we don't.
I mean, these animals are affected. Can they be infected and be spreading the spike or the virus, or
can going to have a shortened
lifespan because they've been exposed to this crap?
Right. Secondhand animal shedding onto people. Breeder first, and they come home to you. And I mean, if I were into breeding cats or dogs, and I was not vaxxed, which I wouldn't be, I would advertise that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Coming from an uninjected breeder. And the breeders will let sometimes the injected come in and pick up the kitties or the puppies and rub them and put their contaminants all over these animals and breathe on them. I wouldn't let anybody around any of the dogs or cats I was breeding. Do it all by video.
Yep.
I mean, that may sound a little extreme, but I don't think so. All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground tonight. Again, Peter McCullough was outstanding in his presentation. I hope you all got a lot out of that. It's very important. We're now at, I think we're in a second stage of this nightmare. And I think we're seeing the growing wave of people now suffering from more elaborate, fatal conditions. They're not dead yet, but they're on the way. It looks very much like that.
Yeah, it does. It does. There's more sick people now than there's ever been.
Yeah, I agree. All right, thank you.
Okay.
And take care. Talk soon.
All right. You too, Jeff. Right. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Okay. We shall continue with more. And do listen to this program a second time. Glean from it as much as you can and share it with those who you feel will at least be open-minded to listen to it. And let's hope that happens. Back in a minute. Hold on.